This episode of the Sportsman's Empire is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Since 1952, Interstate Batteries has been evoking compassion and a trustworthy spirit into the surrounding communities. Interstate Batteries is a mission-driven company fueled by purpose and guided by their values. If you need help locating a specific battery, stop into your local Interstate Batteries retail store and speak with a battery specialist. They even offer cell phone repairs. Interstate Batteries. Outrageously dependable. This summer, America turns 250 years old, and there's no better way to celebrate than getting outside and exploring this great nation. One way to do that is to rent a camper or RV from Outdoorsy. Outdoorsy is the most trusted RV rental marketplace in the U.S., making it easy for anyone over 21 to rent an RV or camper without owning one. With Outdoorsy, you can drive it yourself, tow it, or even have it delivered and fully set up at your destination. With comprehensive insurance, 24/7 customer support, and roadside assistance, Outdoorsy gives you the peace of mind you need when on the road. Outdoorsy is even the perfect option for your next out-of-state hunting or fishing trip. Right now, my listeners can have all service fees removed from their bookings in 2026 with code EMPIRE at Outdoorsy.com. That's Outdoorsy.com and use code EMPIRE at checkout to remove service fees. It's time to get outside and enjoy your summer. I've been trying Underbrush from Nathan & Sons, and it's not really regular gum. It's remineralizing chewing gum. Basically an oral care routine in gum form. You brush in the morning and at night, but after lunch, there's a big gap where most of us do nothing for our teeth. Underbrush is made for that moment. Chew it for 5 to 10 minutes, spit it out, and move on. Or keep chewing it if you like the feel of it. It's made with something called hydroxyapatite. That's the same mineral your enamel is made from, and natural saps like mastic and spruce. So it has a firmer, really satisfying chew. The company is only a few years old, and the team is literally making, packing, and shipping gum every day. So if you want a simple daily upgrade for your teeth, check out Underbrush from Nathan & Sons. Check them out today at nathanandsons.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Bama Wall Hangers Podcast. We're here today on take two of this video, but it's going to be all right. We are, we've got somebody special with us today that me and Tucker kind of met during the winter last year because we were in this shop. So either way, we'll get to him in just a second, and I want him to tell about his stuff and tell about the coolest thing that I've seen in taxidermy in my lifetime. And somebody can argue that with me, and I'll argue back, and that's okay. We have had a big week here. Tucker's had a big week at the shop. He's mounted a lot of birds. This has been almost 2 weeks of bird weeks. He had a pile of birds that come in between some of the deer, and next week I think might be back to more deer.
Back to deer.
I don't know what his plan is, but he's got a plan. I hope he has a plan. He needs a plan.
I got one Canadian goose I got to do. It's huge.
So there's a big bird I'm staring at right here. That would kill you.
It would take up a whole wall in my house.
So he's got it drying now.
Yeah.
Well, when do we get to see this bird?
It'll probably about 3 weeks. It's going to take it a little bit to dry.
He don't have anywhere on his wall. He needs people to come pick up stuff so he has somewhere to hang it in this shop. Yeah. Here on this place so it can dry. But we'll get to it. So I was just, this last weekend, it was a holiday weekend. We went to Joe Wheeler here in Alabama on the Tennessee River. It's a place that our family have gone now for 11 years. When I quit work and went back to school, there was not going to be a vacation for my family that year. And one of my friends invited me to come stay with him and his family up there. And his family has been to this place every year his whole life. And it's crazy that there's probably, how many people you think out there on Friday and Saturday night when they cook?
There's probably.
You're pushing 75. Yeah, I guarantee you at times there's probably 50 easy. And now, like, the majority of all those cabins are his family now in that state park.
And they know it, too. Like, whenever you go rent a cabin, you can't get certain cabins because they don't got it.
Yeah. Their name is known better than the Bowen name up there. I can tell you that. We're second and third tier, maybe fifth tier. I don't know. But they're number one, and that's all right. So, because they invited us and show us the place. So, we get to spend some time. Sawyer and his buddy, he has a buddy that goes with him every year. They They hit the Sea-Doo. It rained on us a lot, but it doesn't matter, Tucker.
I got caught in a storm on the jet ski. It was awful. Bad. It felt like hell was hitting me whenever I was going across through there.
I sat at the boat ramp for 35 minutes with the trailer in the water, knowing that nobody else was going to pull up there and want to get in because it was going to flood. And him and Ella Kate pulled straight up on the trailer, and Ginger came across. They're soaking wet. But either way, they had a good time. It was fun. Got to catch some good fish. Sawyer and his buddy, we call him Buzzbait. He likes to catch a smallmouth. They caught a pile of drum below the dam. They like catching those. It's fun to catch.
They stink. God.
They do stink. We went and set some. We ran some noodles.
It was fun. We caught some pretty good catfish.
I think me and my buddy beat Tucker and his buddy, but we stayed there for
3 hours.
It don't matter. We still beat you. And that's what we did. Then we go on Saturday. We go to Lawrenceburg, Tennessee. Ginger likes to go see the Amish guys up there. We like to go too. We've actually had two dogs that we bought from the Amish folks. We had an Australian Shepherd. We call her the Amish Shepherd. Yeah. And now we have a Sawyer begged for about 2 years, 3 years for a pug. I fought it for a while, and I told him, I was like, year before last, I was like, dude, the next time we go back, if they have one that's less than 8 weeks old, you can get it, because I feel like you're not commonly going to still be able to go up there at any time and find a puppy. Well, lo and behold, we pull up to the house. There he is, 7 weeks old, ready to go home. So we have Daryl now.
Daryl is his name.
Daryl the pug, and he's a local legend here in Hubbardville. So anyway, now we're back at it, though. Like I say, Tucker had a busy week. We're busy at the clinic. When you have an off day, it kind of stinks the rest of the week when you have an off week at a therapy clinic, because everybody needs to get there, and that's all right. But we made it to Friday again, and now we're back in the shop. But our guest here that we've been talking to this whole time, we haven't introduced yet, is Brandon Snyder. He's got a Tennessee. Well, he's kind of moved a little bit now. He does have a Tennessee plaque on the wall behind him, and that's okay. We're going to forgive him because we kind of like him. I think we got a lot in common. Last year, Tucker told me one night while we were down here in the shop that he wished he could do something that was different. He wished he had something that was different. And I didn't know what to tell him other than the fact that he's going to have to get fancy with his displays or his habitats. I mean, and he likes to think, I like to do some of the woodwork. He touches these birds. I'm not touching a bird. If I touch a bird, I'm holding it so he can mount it onto something. That is not my forte. I'm not messing with that. He'll sit down here for hours with a brush and a fan. And I don't know. That's him. He loves it. I'm glad he does. Deer, I like that. And some of the fur game, all I do is clean the hides, and he's the guy. But either way, he was trying to figure out a way that he could do something to make it different. And then like within 2 days, he came back and was like, check this out. Have you seen this? And when he showed it to me, I thought, that's too easy. And I don't know about that. And I think it may be people who are going to argue. Like I've said, they can argue with me all day, but in my lifetime, I haven't seen anything come up with anybody come up with anything that changed or added something more to just regular taxidermy that you can afford. Anybody that can afford a mount.
No, you can.
If you can afford to do a mount or mount anything you have, or not even mount it, just get a skull mount on a plaque or like use the turkey fans. I know you'll tell about them, but if you can afford to do a shoulder mount or a duck, there's no way you can afford to put this product in there. And that's the bottom line. So, I mean, it's awesome. Tucker's added it to his. I feel like when people learn how easy it is and they can see, and we're going to be showing people, it should blow up from here, I think. So either way, Brandon, tell us about yourself. Tell us what you got. Tell us how you got here. And sure. We'll let you roll with it.
Man, well, again, part two, you know, thank you guys again for having me on.
Thank you. Hey, look, it's going to be easier. It's going to be so much easier this time for you to do this, I promise.
Yeah. Hey, we're going to be professionals by the end of this.
I don't know about that. You will be. All right.
We'll fake it till you make it, right?
That's right.
No. So, yeah, no, guys, I really appreciate you reaching out. Not only were you guys one of the first ones to ask us to be on a podcast, but you were one of our first customers. I think you guys were 7th or 8th taxidermist that we had. And so I was, you know, you first taxidermist in Alabama, and you guys are Northern Alabama. So you guys are the only ones out that way, which is awesome. But yeah, you know, the memory mount, you know, it came about just through you know, hunting itself, right? I had a late start to hunting. I actually didn't start hunting until about 4 or 5, 5, 6 years ago. and as an adult, as a father, as a man, you know, getting into hunting that late kind of teaches you some things differently than being younger, right? And I was able to look at these memories that I had and, you know, that I've even experienced with my children now hunting, and want and find ways to preserve those memories. And, you know, when we started this company, the original idea started around July 2025. And then we launched in November of 2025. And the growth has been crazy. Now in 22 different states.
That's awesome.
Over 50 taxidermists that we're partnered up with, not to mention retail stores. But, you know, a little bit about the product. You know, what it is, you know, we started off with what we called it. It was the skull hook or the bone collector, which was a year-old mount hanger, right? And the concept was you go up to your mount, you tap your phone to it, and you can see all those pictures and videos of the harvest. And that was really what the company was. That was really just the end game for it, was just to develop this Euro hanger. And quickly found out that the market wanted more. The people wanted more. Taxidermists, the hunters, the moms, the dads, you know, everybody wanted more. And so it was like, you know, how can we be innovative here and grow this and make this exactly what everybody wants? So after selling the Euro hangers and those doing well, which I have a funny story about that. We actually failed miserably at first. I found a way to do chips, and we would embed chips directly into taxidermy. And, you know, that's about when Tucker reached out asking, hey, you know, what's this about? You know, what are you doing here? And, you know, so these chips, they're about the size of a quarter. You embed them directly in the form, and, you know, it takes a taxidermist, what you say, 30 seconds maybe to install.
Yeah, it may be 30
seconds. Not bad at all. Man, I vetted this thing like crazy before we launched it because I wanted it to be easy on you guys, but also, you know, set you apart for your customers, right? You know, now you just, once that chip's embedded in the form, you know, throw some clay over it, throw the cape over it, it's done, right? You give your customer their card and they take over their mount. And from there, what they're able to do is upload photos, videos of their hunt, the whole story. They could type it out. And then you have all your harvest details. And that's all like species specific. So, you know, you'll have harvest details for deer, for antelope, for duck, turkey. I mean, you name it. And it's actually what's crazy is because we've now launched into the South Africa and Canadian market. We have, you know, exotic game in there now. But it's just, you know, it's a way to tie those memories that you have on the wall, you know, that piece of taxidermy, that art to the hunt itself. And it keeps those, you know, memories tied. And then you have your app that keeps all of your hunts all in one spot. So that's kind of, yeah, you know, that's the rundown of what it is. But it's been a journey to say the least.
Yeah. I will say that I've talked to a lot of people about the memory mount, and I actually 2 weeks ago talked to I order all my duck forms and stuff from, and we got to talking, and we got talking about the stuff that I have in the shop, and I got to tell him about it, and he's kind of an older guy, but he's from Texas, and he was like, man, that's one of the craziest things that I've ever heard of. He said that I've never in my time known of somebody being able to do that and be able for anybody. I mean, like, you put – say I put it in a form, dad's a customer, he comes, picks it up, and then you can walk into his house and hold your phone up to it, and then it's going to pull it up, and you're going to be able to see it, and you don't have to scroll all day long on your phone to get back to that picture. That's one thing.
Right.
Not like it's scrolling on my phone to find a picture, but so, now it's on there.
And you don't have to have the app, right? I mean, you walk up and tap your phone, it's going to pull up on your internet. Like, it's going to take you to the link that you need to click to see the stuff, right?
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, again, when I was working through this, trying to figure it out, we knew that we were going to have a mobile app just because that's what our customers were just they were insistent, like, we want an app. So we knew that the app was,
man, everybody's got to have an app.
Yeah, everybody's got to have an app. But you don't have to have the app downloaded, right? So you come into my house, you tap any of my mounts. You don't have my app downloaded. You can still view it. It'll open up Safari or Google or, you know, whatever, you know, browser you have on your phone. But if you happen to already be a Memory Mount customer and you have the app, then instead it'll open up the app. So yeah, it's pretty cool.
I got you.
Yeah, that's very cool. And say you still got your granddad's mount and it's already mounted. Well, I mean, you've even got a thing for that, that you can, if you save them pictures, it's there, you know, that's awesome. A lot of people love that down here.
The retro tag.
That's what everybody loves, the retro tag.
You know, that came about because we were working with taxidermists. You guys were putting them in the forms, and then customers were coming back saying, "Hey, you put this chip in my form. How do I do this for my other deer? Can you rehydrate it? Can you do this?" And you know, again, me thinking from a business perspective, I'm like, how can I make life just easier for these taxidermists? Sure, you can, you know, spend an hour or so hydrating it and, you know, taking that deer in, but you got to be busy as it is. So I was like, well, we develop this external tag and they could just screw it straight onto their mount. Doesn't matter what the mount is, you know, find somewhere to put it. And now every mount can have Memory Mount.
Yeah. I had a family that they went on a trip to Texas and they killed a stag, a pretty good whitetail, and a black buck. I mounted the black buck, like, I mounted it and I had it ready and it was done. And then I mounted the stag and they had seen my video about the Memory Mount. And they was like, is there any way that you can put all that in our mounts? I was like, yes, of course I can. And then I got to thinking, I was like, oh no, that black buck's already mounted. And then I had that retro tag, and I was like, oh, your black buck's going to have something kind of different on it. But I mean, it works exactly the same. And I put it on there, and they're perfectly fine with it. You know, they're real nice people, but it's just something that they like, you know. That it helped me out a lot because I did not want to remount that thing.
Right.
Well, mounting that black buck's going to cost him some money.
Yeah, it's going to cost me some money.
He's going to go get. He needs a black buck now.
Thank you.
So clean, man. Oh, they look so good.
Man, I want one. That'd be incredible.
Yeah.
Let's we'll get a trip going.
We need to line a trip up. Yeah. No doubt. No doubt. Yeah. Now I need to make a lot of money somehow, and then we'll go. But like, the planning part's real fun. I can tell you from experience, if you go, if you have a child that wants to go on a hunt in a couple of years, it don't seem like a big deal when they're in the sixth grade, but when they graduate, it really kicks you hard. And I hadn't recovered yet, but we had fun, so it'll be all right. We'll go. Like I said, we're going back next year. Take Sarah to let him kill some pigs, but. It's going to happen again for us one day, but it's fun to go do that, no doubt. And Tucker has got, we still have his stag. It's ready. We need to order a form. Being too cheap to order a form for his last stag that he killed when we were on his trip, but it'll have a memory mount in it. And we got the video. We got the video and all the pictures, you know, and then he's got them in his others. So anything we've mounted for us since the day we found these. It has a memory mount. It will from here forward.
If anybody wants to see memory mount, then I'll have it at the Deer Expo. It'll be in all my mounts there. So it's going to be in ducks, deer, stags, anything that I got.
If it's there, we'll have one in it. And it's that because I don't think people believe how easy it is to hold your phone up and look at that guy's pictures.
And it's probably one of the cheapest things you can do. It is almost, it's 100%. The only thing that you can get for a mount that's going to change it, and everybody's going to be like, how do I get one of them?
Yeah. So
let me ask you, you said, go ahead.
No, you're good.
So you said that, you fished a lot before you ever got into hunting a couple of years ago.
Yep. Yeah.
And what kind of fishing is that? Is that bass fishing? Are we fishing for trout? Are we fishing for anything that bites?
You know, I love bass fishing. We have some good bass fishing here where I'm at. But my favorite is trout. I grew up trout fishing. We go up, you know, North California, Big Bear, that we called it. That's how I grew up learning it was a trout fish. And then, you know, you take it home and you put it in that skillet and you fry that sucker.
Yeah.
Man, some of the best eating, in my opinion.
We like to go to Townsend, Tennessee.
Yeah.
You know, if we're going up to near Gatlinburg, I haven't been to Gatlinburg in probably 15 years. And it's not because we don't like being there, but we go
to kind of go to see the animals and be in the woods, semi-woods.
Away from everybody.
So, you know, right. Gatlinburg, it seems like if I go there, that's not, and I mean, some people like it. And if you want to go there and be in the big crowd and go buy t-shirts, then go to Gatlinburg. That's good.
Man, Gatlinburg's not where it used to be.
It's not, man. And you know, like we go to Townsend. It's a small town. Mm-hmm. And we're close to Cades. 15 minutes from Cades Cove, 20 maybe, because it's a slow winding road, right? And I told Tucker, I want to go there one spring. We've never been there in the spring where we could drive to the gate of Cades Cove and hear the turkeys. I bet that's cool to sit right there and hear turkeys gobble in the spring.
Man, dude, we do that. So that's a family thing of ours. We'll take the kids. You know, we all disconnect. We throw a tent up and we camp in Cades Cove. And that's all we do. We explore Cades Cove. You go fishing, you know, in Abrams Creek. And, you know, you do the whole thing. Oh, it's amazing. You got to experience it.
We're a couple weeks from going on our trip this year up there to that place. And I'll tell you, man, Tucker, maybe 5 years ago or six, we found the place now where we stay. My wife found a family that actually owns the property there at this creek. And they've got maybe four cabins and they rent two. They live in the other. The lady, I think, is the one who grew up there. But anyway, Tucker was doing his dangest to try to catch that trip, man. He spent hours in that creek. And, you know, we're talking an Alabama kid with rooster tails, trying red worms, corn. He's over there and spent any money that this kid took to the mountains. He spent in that fly shop, never caught a fish on that. And what we caught one thing that they call like a creek chub. You know what that is? It was
a creek chub. What? It's
about a creek chub. It was.
It's about that long. It's not a trout, I can tell you that.
Okay.
But he finally caught a fish. He finally caught a fish and was excited. That was that trip. The next trip, we're down there and again. He spends his time in that creek fishing. Sawyer's down there. Sawyer's done salt up because he can't catch fish, you know. And Tucker comes back and he has met the neighbor, the guy that owns the place. And I guess he had seen him struggle. He's like, "Listen, kid, go get this." And he went and told him to go get some bread and balled it up, put it on the hook and caught some fish and then was able to use that and catch other fish. So when that guy taught him how to actually catch
It was so fun.
It was on, man. It was on, and maybe they can do it again this year. Yeah. We need to go find some other places too, you know, because we wore that little spot where we were in that cabin out.
They have this tubing thing that goes to
river rats, you know.
Yes.
You know what it is. Anybody that's been there knows what river rats is.
So, man, that creek is produced for my family, man. And I'm going to tell you, and when we get off here, I'm going to send you a video. I don't know. It's probably the trip that Tucker didn't catch anything but a creek chub. We're sitting there, and me and Ginger's kind of watching people float. They're floating down on those tubes, man.
And it's like a deep hole up here, a deep hole there, and there's a shoal right where we're at. There's a shoal.
Any city slicker thinks that they're going to die if they get in the water, you know? So we're going to ride this out no matter what. Well, on this trip, there's a man and a woman walking down the creek with their flotation thing on. They've let their raft go. They don't have a tube.
It's not even ankle deep either.
They're struggling, brother, you know. So me and Ginger's watching, and that lady is cussing that man for everything he's worth because she keeps falling, and he'll turn right back around and go help her, man. He would go help her. He'd reach his hand out. And I told Ginger, I said, "That's a good dude," because I don't even know what we're talking, like 400 yards of vision we have of these folks, right? And she's falling and cussing and wallering. And anyway, I took pictures and I shared. I was like, "This is a good man." You know, I post on Facebook. I'm like, "This man here is a good man. He's helped this woman the whole way. Find you a man like this man right here." Well, everybody got a kick out of that. And then the next time we're there, 2 years later?
Yes, 2 years ago. This is the best story yet.
I'm sitting up there. And, you know, like I said, we go do spend some time out. But if we have a chance and we're waiting on something to happen, or if we're there, we're sitting at the edge of that creek and watch these folks. I think they float from 10 to 3 or something like that. So we're sitting out there that day, and Ginger's on this rock. She wants to chill in the water. She's looking back at the cabin, you know, sitting in the edge of the creek, talking Sawyer's fishing, I guess. And I'm watching. I look up the creek, dude, and there's this lady. And
she's kind of older, not really.
She's in this tube. And she's riding it out, and she keeps coming to the edge way up from us, and She cannot float. It's not floating. That's the problem, man. She needs to be in deep water, and she's not.
Ain't floating.
And I don't know who the young lady is with her, and she really wants her to be able to go, but she don't want to get off her raft either. Her floating, so she's watching.
And they give them these. It's like a walking stick.
You got a little push pole.
It's a push pole. It looks like a beaver stick.
Everybody's
paddling with it. It's a stick. It ain't gonna do nothing.
Ginger has no clue of what is going on behind her, but this lady breaches and lands behind Ginger. And I've watched her like scoot her body, and she's like, the movement she's doing, man, it's awesome. And she can't make this float move anymore. She'll land and get stuck. She'll move a little more and get stuck. And she ends up right behind Ginger. I'm here. Ginger's here on a rock looking at me. And behind her is this woman who is beached on a rock on her float and will not stand up. And she's giving it all she's got, man. And I'm like, Ginger, sing me a song, because I know I'm fixing to video this, and I just don't want it to be too obvious.
Right.
And
perfect,
man,
timing, dude.
Ginger's like looking at me. Mary Had a Little Lamb, I think, was the song that she sung on Spur of the Moment. And
woman is sunk down.
She's fighting for her life.
In the float, and she's stuck to the ground, and she's like in a ball, and she just starts doing this.
She fights it for like a good 15 seconds, and then she like looks and to see if she's moved. I'm going to send you the video. You'll get it.
Oh, man. Awesome.
I don't know how many views
they got. It's like 2.4 million views within like 2 days, man. And my buddy that night, he sends me a message. He's like, dude, you're going viral. I was like, what are you talking about? Because you kind of forget that you posted.
Right.
I was like, dude, that's awesome. People are going to love this. And that night, he's like, you're going viral. And I was like, what for? What are you, if like for real? He's like, dude. Check that out, and it's awesome.
And there's people like at Walmart and places.
They're stopping my wife that summer. She's like, "You're that woman on that video.
You're the one in the video.
No kidding.
Oh my gosh, Brad, what have you done to me?
It's awesome. But I pray that creek gives to us again this year what it's done the last 2 times.
Yes, the last 2 times it's been perfect. It's been awesome.
So either way, we're gonna give it. I hope we have another good video, and maybe the next month when we're up there. But either way. Look, I guess like if you you're talking about doing the memory mount, do you have any option? Like you said, you had it in some retail places. Now, is that some place like where people need to go try to find it, or is there any other place you want to get it? I mean, we need to go find you some places to stick this thing in Bama.
Yeah, hey, you know, the more the merrier, right? I'm still over here cutting up about the people watching Gatlinburg, man. Sorry.
Look, give us a couple weeks, you can come sit on the creek with us and watch. It's going to be fun. There's something.
Oh, it's amazing. we've seen our fair share out there. We've also, we've seen some amazing animals out there, especially Cades Cove,
100%.
Cades
Cove has the huge deer.
Yeah, oh, they do. Yeah. Oh, man. And the bears, the turkey, it's
the bear.
As far as retail goes, we're right now it's mainly right here in Tennessee. We're in a couple local hardware stores. We're in the co-ops out here. We've had our products in front of Tractor Supply at this point. It's getting out there, right? There's a little bit of a challenge with retail because it's different than B2B, right? Or working with directly with taxidermists. Well, it's funny because we've been asked, hey, would you be interested in putting those chips directly into forms even and selling forms? Yeah. As great of an idea that is, and I'm sure it's going to bring, memory mount, good money. I don't like it because that takes away from our taxidermist, right? Kind of what started this was building that relationship with y'all. Granted, I know it's not going to make you guys rich, but it's just a way to set you apart from the other shops around you.
The people coming in telling their story and knowing that their kid can look at their picture whenever they want. Just stuff like that's why I like it.
Yeah. Oh, and you know what's crazy is there's still so much that we haven't even talked about that Memory Mount does now, right? Tools for you guys. We all within the Memory Mount like taxidermy portal, you guys can manage all your clients, all your customers. Every mount that you've ever done for them is all in one spot under that customer's name. We've also included here recently where make this a full circle, from harvest to you know, mounted on the wall. What we found was a big piece that's missing, that's big for you guys, for taxidermists, is what's under the cape, right? All your work is really under the cape, and then your finish work. And, you know, we even implemented a place now that you have the mount tab, and then you have the hunt tab. And the hunt tab is for your customers. They upload their photos, their videos, their story of the hunt. But then the mount tab, which the customer sees, is where you guys get to showcase your work that's under the cape, right? Your progress pictures. And that's a, you know, that's actually twofold, because once, I don't know, I don't think you, you don't do any competition right now, right? Like competing?
No, not right now.
No. So, you know,
I want to so bad.
But he's competing with the clock right now.
Right. All this stuff out of here.
Well, once, this is once you do start competing, this is something that we're actually working with different taxidermy associations, and we're for your proof of work, you know, when, especially once you get in that master class, right? You show proof of work, and all of that's there, right? There's no more, you know, printing off photos and carrying a photo album. And what's even cooler is that because it's digital, you can zoom in, right? So you can really show off what you're doing versus just a 2D picture. Lots of fun stuff, lots of new stuff. We don't even need to get into the feed that we're pushing out, like a Instagram feed for hunters and fishermen.
All right. That'll catch on. Anybody that I've talked to about anything we're associated with here, with Tucker's Shop, the taxidermy, this podcast, you know, I'm old, I guess. I'm 44. People will say I'm old, and that's all right. I'm low key. But, you know, what I was going to say is, like, oh, you're on Facebook. Okay.
Yeah.
You send some stuff to your buddies on Snapchat. You're on Facebook, and I check Facebook, and we're on that all the time. But everybody is like, dude, Instagram is where you got to be. And I'm like, okay, you know, so we'll get on Instagram and slip through there. But it's kind of like, I get on there and look at it. I kind of see the same thing I'm seeing on Facebook. So I don't know why you need it. But everybody, every person that has said anything to us about this or Tucker Shop is like, Instagram is what gets you going and gets your word out. So we're working on it.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and that actually brings up, I mean, we can talk about that feed for a second, just so it makes more sense. You know, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. I mean, you guys know it as well as I do. There's the censorship that goes on, right? You get shadow banned. Hell, I got banned on TikTok with memory mount at first, because I posted a picture of a kid who just harvested his turkey with his granddad, but he had a shotgun, right? And TikTok came back and they're like, "Oh, you're invoking violence in the youth." That is the opposite of what we're doing, actually. That's the
craziest thing ever.
Yeah. So, you know, the whole idea with this feed is, one, anybody that has a memory mount, if they make it public, it'll be displayed in this feed. So you could scroll and see fishing and hunting, and right? But two, it gives us as hunters, I hate this word, but a safe space, right? where we're not getting, you know, shadow banned or told, hey, you can't post this. Hell, I had a customer reach out to me. He was he's a doctor. And he goes, man, I'm on social media, but I can't ever post like my hunts because I'm so worried about my patients or my colleagues seeing it. And if they're not hunters, you know, it puts a bad taste in their mouth and they're not going to want to deal with my practice. Yeah. Whereas like, this is perfect because I'm proud of those hunts. I'm excited. Like, those memories are amazing. And I can post them, but it's like-minded people. The people that don't want to see it, they're not going to be there.
Yep.
So, some good stuff coming.
So let me ask you, you're a Tennessee guy.
Yeah.
If we're loading the crew up in a couple of weeks and we're headed up to Townsend.
Yeah.
Is there a hidden gem that nobody knows about? We've gone to what was the Tuckaleechee Cavern?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. We went on that a couple of years ago.
What's the place that we went to and found the shed?
That was in North Carolina. Where's the elk at? Mm-hmm. There was like a state park or a park. No. Something badly. I don't know. It was pretty neat. When Tucker was little, we'd go up there and we found a shed, actually, like an elk shed. There was a park ranger there.
We didn't keep it.
Didn't get to keep it. Park ranger got it. But I mean, it was cool to find. Like, how many times you get to do that? A guy from Alabama goes to a little park in North Carolina, and you found a shed. It was awesome.
Yeah, right.
It was a big shed too.
It was big, no doubt. It was big. I'd like to sing that up with the tag in hand, but I guess that was probably not going to happen there. It was cool. It was cool. It was really fun. But we're going to go in a couple of weeks, and I hope the creek produces, man. I'm telling you. It's going to. We're going to have a video. It's going to be so good. There's got to be something there.
You know, with all this rain that we've had, it's been raining here for 10 days straight. And it's all been moving east, right? So the creeks up there in the river should be just running. I'd say, you know, what I've found going up there, you know, you find the main river and then you find where, you know, it splits off and you have these smaller creeks. Man, those things are honeyless. You know, you get away from the tubers, right? Yeah,
That's the bad thing about where
it's
we're
a trade off. Yeah. You want to watch the people struggle, or you want to catch fish? So we'll probably do a little of both.
Yeah, do a little of both.
That's crazy, man. Yeah, we'll do a little of both.
It's just like you mentioned, though, man. It's gotten so crazy up there. The amount of people, and you know, it's just. I remember before it was a tourist trap, and now that it's crazy.
Yeah.
It gets crowded. Man, we like to go, mostly caged. We stay in the woods there.
We go to the chimneys.
Go up to the chimneys, grill out, look for a bear maybe. You'll find some bear. Maybe most times the bear surprise you where you're not looking for them. You know that just as well.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, there's a bear right here.
Yeah, since we got
huge
in the
bear video hit
on the interstate right above us,
like 10 miles really? From our house here.
It was huge.
It was
and I would like imagine you're riding through Alabama
and
you hit
Marion County.
A bear. Like, what is the insurance going to say?
Yeah,
like,
they're going to have to.
Oh, you got
to
be lying. You know,
right.
It was a big bear, man. It was a big bear, and I like Everett Turner was getting tagged on Facebook. About, you know, like, hey, that'd be a nice mount. Well, we can't go get the bear. It would be cool to mount it. Yeah. We don't know where it's at. I'm sure Game Warden come and got it and probably needs to before people are fighting over it on the side of the road. But either way, yeah, man, it was right there. So
that's
we don't get to see a lot of bear. Yeah, it was crazy.
Hey, a few, like, two or three years ago on...
last year.
Yeah, it was last year. And it was on April Fool's.
April Fool's. My buddy sends me a picture of a game camera, picture of a bear. And I was like, look, dude. Any day but today, I would buy this.
It's almost bigger than a 5-gallon bucket. It was huge.
It traveled kind of north here from, I think, south of us through deer season. People had pictures, and I don't know the range, and there may be more than one, right? You know, you never know. But it kind of went, we're talking like a 30-mile difference between the winter and spring of if this is the same bear, you're probably like 30 miles of going north is where that was at. And that may be the same one there. You know, I don't know, but... A lot of people on game cameras, kind of a northern path. This deer, this bear took. So it's just crazy if there's a bear that has been photographed here, we're gonna find it. You know, somebody because it's rare.
And the guy that done that, it was on April Fool's, and he will get you sometimes.
Yeah, that's why I was like, I'm not buying this.
The way he had it on his deer camera, like his tacticam, and like it was on his feed, and he was like, look, I am not playing with y'all. We know who's going to get on there and add a picture.
Yeah, he's like,
I can't do this.
I can't change that. I can't fix that.
I believe him now. And he had pictures of the prints in the ground and everything.
So, and it did. We had multiple people showing the same thing. So it was pretty cool, but. One of the things we're going to do here, we done last time we've done one of these recordings. We want part of our show every time to be, and it's kind of, here we are back to the memory mount thing. But like I told Turkey when we started and I was talking to the guy that helped us get this rolling, like when I listen to podcasts, I like to learn, you know, they're pretty, it's pretty neat to learn things. On the first one, I told that some of them are a little outlandish for me. His thing, like I'm not a millionaire by any means. I'm not even 100-aire. And we don't have thousands of acres of land to manage. We've got a little bitty. I sent a picture of my buddy the other day of the chief of the Tucker planted. So I hope it produces next year. It did quick. The turkey probably eat half the seed we put out.
Yeah.
No gobblers. It's all hens. There's no gobblers at our house. Just so nobody comes here to do the gobblers.
Never.
There's not any gobblers here.
I promise you, there is no.
If they are here, they don't like to reproduce for some reason. I don't know.
Yeah. But,
Oh, we wanted this to be kind of to the point where like for us, like we want it to be something where people come on here and we learn from things. We learn from folks like you, get to meet people, but like the memories, I want a story like Tucker had told on the first one. Everybody that comes in here has a story and it's a good memory for them. Right. And it's some of the kids, even older people, man, we've had some people that come in here with their first buck, grown men that brought their first buck in here. And that's awesome. And then, you know, yeah. I like to hear them. Tucker does too. And you wonder sometimes if all of them are good hunters, if they got lucky, or you got to be lucky sometimes, 100%.
Oh, sure.
Some of the biggest deer I've ever killed was when I worked in a plant and I came with grease on me, put coveralls on, hurried up and got in the woods. And the two biggest deer I ever killed was on those days where I didn't get to take a shower, get to clean. I know I had to smell. So obviously I got lucky, yes. And then by chance, had a good deer here, you know. So either way, you get lucky sometimes. But both of those are pretty good memories I've got. But like for you, like we want everybody to come on here and tell a story of a good core memory, either hunting or fishing.
Yeah. So
do you have one that you could tell us? And it needs to be one that's going to stick with you forever.
I think we, all of our hunting memories are core memories for the most part, right?
Right.
Especially when you start bringing the kids in. I have my very first hunting memory, which is a core memory. But in as special as that is, cause that kind of helped me kick off this memory mount thing. I'd say really it's my taking my kids out. That was my biggest core memory. Right. And it was actually the best one was this last season. So hunting this farm, my buddy's farm, and it's a unique setup. You know, you have the main property, which sits back in the woods, and then you have his big hay pasture, which he goes out, you know, and he cuts every year. But it's surrounded by the road. And, you know, out here, you can't shoot off the road. But you can bring a crossbow out to this field, like where it's at. I'd say, you know, you got maybe 800 yards long by 500 yards wide, right? So I'm patterning these deer. You know, I've been watching them all season, been figuring out what they're doing. I'm like, all right, this is the one I'm going to put my boy on to get his first deer. And it's special because it's actually just like how my first interaction went. So we get out to this blind. It's in the evening. Can't get this boy out in the morning to save my life. So get out of the blind and, I set him up on one of those, you know, those, what are they called? Like the death grip, tripods or the bog, So, you know, I set him up on that with a crossbow and I start running one of these Montana decoys just to kind of see what they're, you know, is doing. It's pre-rut, just about to be hot. Right. And so I have this doe out there. I've got some like screaming estrus on her. And this buck comes in and just nose down, barrels in, and steps out maybe 40 yards from us. I'm like, buddy. And he's textbook. Like, you know, what, you know, yeah, perfect. It's perfect. But he's just staring down, right? He's not quite broadside yet. My son kind of gets up. He gets, you know, under the scope and he's looking at him and he's like, I can't see him. You know, so I'm trying to adjust his eye relief and get him ready. And he spooks, the buck spooks. So he takes off and he hits the woods. And then about, I don't know, 2 minutes later, this buck comes right in. I'm talking within a half a foot of my blind. And he's like peeping through the blind looking. And my son's just like, he's froze up. You know, he's like, what do I do? Like, just be easy. He wouldn't be coming out here. Like, just let him do his thing. You know, so this buck comes back out. He walks around. You know, he's inspecting this doe. And he sits there. And I mean, this buck's 15 yards away. And good eight, you know, mainframe, good deer. And my son's looking at it, he's like, I don't know. And like, didn't do anything. But it was amazing because, you know, just getting him that experience, right? That freeze, that emotion. And then he was so mad the next day. I should have shot that buck. I was like, hey, you know, it's God's timing. And, you know, this was more of an experience and you'll learn more from these opportunities than you do from harvesting half the time. But it's just cool because, like I said earlier, you know, on our first take, my first deer that I was put on at, you know, almost 30-year-old man, I froze on a doe. I didn't know what to do. So, you know, it's just for me, it's the kids, it's the it's just the experience, the life experience. And, you know, I teach my boys and my daughter. My daughter's actually a bigger hunter than my boys are. Hey, you know, it's not about the mount on the wall, right? It's about what are you putting on the table? Are you thankful for it? God gave us this opportunity. And, you know, let's have these memories to cherish for years and years to come.
We some of our best trips or our best hunts is just like popping a doe or having some buddies to go with.
Nah, I got one that's going to be the best trip. I'll never forget it. So it had snowed one day. You know what I'm about to say. It had snowed one day. And me and Dad was bored out of our mind. And it's like rut. And you don't ever, like, probably once in every 5 years, you're able to hunt in the snow.
Yeah, it don't happen.
So me and Dad are bored out of our mind. And I'll be honest with you, I've already killed 3 bucks. So I'm done shooting bucks. So we're just messing around one day. And he can't get to work. I'm definitely not going to school.
Thank goodness I couldn't get to work.
Yeah,
snow,
you know.
Got to be safe.
So
we start messing around. I'm like, Dad, let's go shoot us a hunting video. And he's like, Tucker, why? But then I'm like, no, I'm going to go hunt with you, Dad. I'm going to be go you hunt. So we walk outside. I'm like, Dad, introduce yourself. And I'm holding up the phone and the camera. I'm like, introduce yourself, sir. And he's like, telling what who he is, you know. And I'm
I
turn on myself. I'm like, we got this one buck pattern. He's coming out every day where I know Mr. Brad's going to be able to go down there and kill him. It's going to happen today in the snow in Alabama. Well, we get there and probably, I don't know, 30, 45 minutes into the hunt, a buck walks out and it's probably 170 yards away.
I don't remember this day at all.
Yes, you do. I know you do. I did not dream this up.
I always talk about
and it. I get my phone up and I'm like, okay, sir, wait for him to turn broad. And he goes, boom, and he shoots at it. And that deer just runs. And I'm like, sir, he wouldn't even broadside. That deer was still running into the field. And he totally missed it. He said, oh, I hit that thing. I know I hit it. No, you did not.
I wanted it to be a video to where people could see how they can overcome things. You know,
right.
That deer lived to see another
day. It was a lesson.
I don't understand. I had my phone up like this, and I was like, sir, we're going to wait for it to turn broadside. I'm going to count down. And like before I could even get broadside out of my mouth, boom, here's the green. I was like, dude, nah, what just happened? And I had my phone in the video. You can see me jump. Because I was not expecting that to happen.
Well, I was doing that, really. You know, I wanted him to be able to show people how you can overcome things. I came through that. I overcame that miss. And everything's okay.
It sounds right to me, right?
I asked him to delete the video. I don't know if he did.
I have still got the video. We've done it 2 times. We shot it the first time. Whenever we was at the house, we started laughing. We had to restart, so I've got them saved.
Those videos need to be played over in this podcast here. We let everybody see.
I straight up missed that deer, man.
He straight up missed it. And we got on our hat, our orange hats. So the next podcast, I'll have one of those hats here. What are they called?
Jones cap.
The Jones cap. I don't know if you've ever seen a Jones cap, but my great granddad, that's all he wore.
That's all he would wear was that style hat. And you can find, I ordered some for us like maybe 3 or 4 years ago to give the boys and some of Tucker's buddies for Christmas because they always like my granddad's hat and you couldn't find them. So we've all got those.
We had them all. I know if we put that video on there, everybody would be making fun of us.
Well, we don't need to do that. I mean, that's all
right. You need to sell them.
Hey. I did miss that, and I'm gonna tell you, man, I've missed a lot of deer. You know, I'm glad I've got some deer to miss. Last year Tucker got a kick last year. You'll like this, and I think this should be a trend, and I'm being honest. These people that like to bow hunt, I don't bow hunt a lot.
It's fun once you get into it, man.
I'm left-handed, and my brother in high school was on a competition team with our school, and they went to the nationals. And I don't know, maybe what third the year that he finished. Anyway, they had a very good competition bow team. Well, I'm left-handed. I'm at my parents' house one afternoon, and this is years ago. My brother's like, shoot the bow. You want to shoot? I was like, yeah. Dude, so I've got a release on my opposite hand. It's going to be awkward anyway.
Yeah.
I shot it like twice. Well, then the pin in his release broke. As I'm pulling back, I hit myself in my nose so hard. Oh. I flipped myself over in the yard. My nose is bleeding. And you know what I said then? I was like, you know what? Maybe that's not what I need to be doing. Maybe I don't need to shoot bows. So since then, though, I've got a bow. I don't hunt a lot with it. And it's because, man, when bow season is here, I do want to hunt some this year with a bow. I do, because we went some last year and kind of got more into it, I guess, watching Tucker. I went and sat and watched Tucker a couple times.
I was able to kill my first ever doe with a bow, like first ever deer with a bow, and it was like textbook. It came out at like 15 yards. I drew back.
Yep.
But he does this with a bow, and this is what I want people to do. I challenge these guys to get on Amazon and get the cheapest compound bow you can find. That's what Tucker did. He had a nice bow. But
and I used the arrows, the release, the sight, the bow, everything.
That came off his Amazon purchase.
And the broadheads.
That came with it. And killed that deer, man. And he was tickled to death because of that. You know, I was like,
but it was like the most perfect shot on that doe, too. Like, I don't understand. It just
needed to happen. So the next day, since he's professional now, he's going to take his dad out there. So we go. And this field, this little bitty field, this is a green field made for deer. It's on a riverbank. There's oaks. So you're sitting in oaks. So you got
acres. And they got planted pines behind it for them to bed in.
It's they're like going across a small green field. That day, man, this deer comes out. There's three.
There's three.
But Tucker has one, and I'm videoing. I'm on a video of Tucker from, I'm 30 yards away from Tucker, I guess, but on a good tree line so I can see him, see the action. And I'm going to video him shoot this deer, and it's going to be cool.
Yeah.
I see the arrow. The deer's looking. Well, he tries again. He misses it. So I'm not making fun of him like he did me. He missed the deer. Well, then I'm like, crap, I've got a crossbow that I really hadn't shot. Tucker told me what dial I should use. I get the range. When it comes over to me, I'm like, all right, I'll shoot the deer. Mm-hmm. Well, then I missed it and was even able to cock it again and miss it again. And I finally just took my mask off. I said, Tuck, let's go. Let's get down.
The thing is, call it a day. The deer didn't even run off. It walked off.
That's why.
It's like
when I stood up, the deer walked away. So I, you know, we let her stay another day. Maybe this year I can do better with the bow. But
yeah, that was one of the, the way that all happened, because the deer walked up the riverbank right here beside us, and I'm looking at Dad. I'm like, oh crap, here we go, Dad. This is going to be fun. And I draw back right under. You know how. Everybody does. It went straight under. So, and then Dad's like, okay. Pop, right over.
Yeah, I was like, I'm fixing to lay this down. I'll take care of this. Nah, I missed it twice with the crossbow.
But the crossbow. You're talking about cheap bows. The crossbow is one from Walmart, probably, I don't know.
That like, thing's got some age on it.
2000s.
It's not safe, really,
it's
probably.
It's got the red dot on it, but it's got three little dots on the inside of it. You have to aim with the bottom dot, the way that I got it sighted in. You can aim with the top or the bottom. You have to aim with the small one. And on the side of the crossbow, it's got a dial that goes from 0 to 9. And every 10 yards, say it's at 20 yards, you put it on 2. And it's that's like, it.
I was getting the math equation given to me as we're walking in. So that was a fail.
It's the craziest thing ever. But I had the bow gave to me, so I cannot complain.
No, man. It was fun. Like, and we came home with nothing, and we're laughing about it. So it was pretty good, you know. But
yeah, way, sometimes
those. I hope Sawyer, I wish Sawyer would get interested in shooting the bow. He shot some last year.
Yeah, I feel like if Sawyer got into bow hunting, he would be the guy.
Because he's precise on things that he does. So yeah. I want him to try to do it this year and maybe shoot one. And that would be pretty cool if we could get it on video.
Yeah.
But either way, we hope that we can keep it rolling and maybe get him to start bow hunting, and maybe I can get a little bit more into it, and then we'll see what Tucker can do.
Hey, bow hunting, it changes the game, you know? It's one thing sitting 150, 200 yards out shooting a deer, but having to be within 40 yards, it's a...
Yes.
I love it.
Yeah. It's an adrenaline thing, like you were talking about. Like, you're that close to the deer. If you're used to shooting deer with a gun, and it gets to where it's exciting, yes, you know, to see them.
Yeah.
But that changes it again, you know? And I guess I want to get over that fear of that pin breaking and busting my nose. But I will tell you, yeah. if I'm in a tree with a bow, I have a harness on 100% of the time.
Oh, yeah.
That's what Tucker knows. If I catch him without that duty, I'm going to kick him out of the house.
He might have to
get his own stuff and go do it, because you can't afford to be in something like that without a harness, no doubt, in my eyes.
I know a guy that fell out of a tree and he broke his back. It ain't a joke. I'll play with it either.
So every year you hear people that end up having incidents, and you got to be very careful, no doubt.
Yeah. I don't know if you have time. You're talking about a missing, I have a story that I had shot at this buck. But it actually ended up it was a really cool story at the end. So I'm sitting at the farm, right? We got this barn and I'm shooting between these two slats, and this is prime rut. These does come in. I'm like, all right, I'm hunting over this scrape. I know how these deer are moving, right? So these does come in, I'm just sitting there, I'm waiting. And there's actually this big 10 that I was hoping there was this guy, but it wasn't. So does kind of do their thing. They walk off, they go to the west, and then lo and behold, here comes this buck coming in, right? Nose down, just blown up, ready. And he hits a scrape. I'm like, all right, I don't have a shot. He's looking at me, he's squared up to me. I'm gonna wait and let him travel up this trail and follow these does up. And this doe, this deer, these does are hot. So he's just coming in. He's not slowing down at all. So, I hit him with, give him a stop. And of course, he stops right where this oak tree kind of like splits out like this, right? And so I raise my rifle up. I'm like, all right, this is gonna be my only shot on him, because everything else is thick briars. And so I shoot. And I see him, like, he kind of jumps up a little bit. I'm like, oh, hell, did I hit him back? And so, he slowly starts to walk. Everything's real slow. And I'm like, that's weird. Like, I shouldn't have been able to hit him, too far back from where the shot. I mean, I only had this much of a window. And so he just walks off. And I just watch him. I'm trying to see, is he getting shaky or anything? I lose track of him. Give it about 20 minutes. I'm like, all right, I'm just going to look and see if there's any blood or anything. Like, it was just a really weird situation. And I go up to that tree, and I graze that tree, and I saw where the bullet had gone up, right? Oh, God, I was, boy. So I'm annoyed, right? And I'm like, all right, I want to go see if that was that buck that I've been looking for. So I go and I trigger my trail camera, and I'm down, on my knee right at the scrape. I trigger the trail camera, and I hear some, like, rustling up in the leaves. And the craziest thing is, I look up, and this buck is just staring at me. He's about 40 yards out.
Hey.
I'm like, what? Yeah. And so, I go up and I startle him just enough to make him take off. Right. So he jumps down and then he shoots sideways and I pull the trigger. Bam. He runs maybe 10 yards, dies. The wildest thing about this whole thing is, so we have a scrape here. These does and that buck went to the west. Then you have like this whole horse pasture down south. And this buck was the same buck that I shot at the first time, because I triggered the trail camera. He had walked all the way around the house, about 300 yards, and had come back from the east, coming back through the same trail that he came in the first time. I thought it was the wildest thing. What is the chances that you get to shoot the same buck twice?
That's awesome.
It was just meant to be that day. Really. Yeah.
It was crazy. Awesome.
He gave you another chance. He wanted to be there bad.
Yeah.
He wanted those women.
No doubt. And that man, when that time comes around, those crazy things happen, and it makes some good stories, because they get crazy.
Yeah, so
it happens. I hope we get a couple more this year. Maybe you'll get a couple. I hope we get some good. I really do want to try with the bow this year to try to get one. I've shot a bunch of crossbows, but I've never, after that day, I'm telling you, when I busted my nose, I kind of said, I've never bought a bow. I have bought one off of a friend of mine that was a left-handed once, and I've shot it some. I could take it this year, I guess. If I just shot it enough, I should be able to.
That's why it is. You just got to be consistent.
You got to do it. You got to do it. But anyway, man, look, I appreciate you coming on here today. I hope I get the opportunity to use maybe three of these memory mounts next fall for myself. Maybe Tucker and Sawyer. Maybe yeah, we use.
Maybe he's nine.
Maybe we can get nine or double digits when we add some ducks. You know. Yeah. It's awesome. I'm glad you came on here and told about it. I'm glad Tucker found you, man, and started using this stuff. We're gonna do like he said. It's what we're a little over a month away from being in Birmingham at the Deer Expo.
And if anybody wants to see how any of it works, they'll be just there. Tell them to come. Like, y'all just come by the booth and I'll have it there set up where they can see it.
It's super easy to use. We can figure out how to get it to you. You can help them get it to them, whatever they need to get them.
So one thing is, so say somebody's on here that's listening, they're out of state, not around Alabama. What can they do to get up with you about getting
it? Yeah. So
if somebody who provides it.
Yeah. First thing, if they're wanting to put in, you know, I definitely recommend reach out to you guys. You know, have them you guys put the chip in for them. If they're looking for any of our mounts, check us out. You know, memorymount.com. We're on all the socials. But yeah, I mean, it's super easy. And just a way to bring the hunting community together in a different way than we've ever seen before.
Yeah, gotcha. It's awesome to hear that you've got into 20, you said 22 states already?
Yeah, 22 states. And then, South Africa. I can't believe South Africa and Canada. That's mind blowing.
It's crazy.
It's crazy whenever you start getting stuff put online. The people that reach out to you.
Tucker, we talked to a guy just last week from South Africa working on, and I don't know if we can make it happen on air. I'd love to. Be able to do some mounts for these guys coming from South Africa there. This guy wants the connection. And
he needs a connection in Alabama for somebody to mount all the animals.
Down south, kind of. And, you know, Tucker could do it. And it would be awesome. And I see, like, it would be awesome to go see his place.
Yeah, he wants me to come see his place so then I can kind of tell people about it around here.
It would be awesome to do that. But it's weird that you made a connection with a dude that is literally sitting in South Africa, saw his stuff, and reached out about it because of the location, you know. So maybe that can happen, dude. It would be awesome. And he's young, dude. He graduated high school last year. So he will step foot in South Africa at some point and kill something, and we'll have to get some memory mount put in it. But
yeah, it's going to be awesome.
Man. Either way, right. It'll be done. I want to finish up and just say, look, thank you big time. I will send you that video of the lady in the
please.
And I'll send you the video of him missing the deer.
Yes.
It's AI generated, but
we could use that excuse now.
Yeah.
Here's the bottom line. I've missed a lot of things in my life.
But the way that happened, we will always talk about it. Yeah, that was the funniest thing ever.
And it's going to happen again, and it's going to be all right. And I'll tell some more stories about my misses. There's been a lot of my friends see me miss a lot of good things. It'll be all right. And I don't mind to knock myself, and we'll get to it one day. But either way, we'll close up and tell everybody I think people would be interested in this. If you got questions about what the memory mount or what he's got going on, send us a message. We got Facebook and Instagram going now. Yep. Send us some suggestions of what you want to learn about, what you want to hear about, and we will get to work on it, right?
Yep, we're going to get to work on it.
After he gets to work on some of these deer next week.
Yeah, I got a bunch of deer coming up. I had some very good deer. And something pretty cool, we got a fallow coming up.
Got a fallow deer, and it's a good fallow deer. So we got within the next 2 weeks, he should be doing a stag and a fallow, a bunch of whitetail, and I don't know how many birds, but we'll have some good pictures.
A bunch of birds.
You're going to stay busy. Man,
look, I appreciate it. Yes, we big time. He'll get caught up eventually, and then it'll start over. And that's all right, though. It's a blessing. He's been blessed 100%.
I love coming down here every day, and it's something different every day, and you learn something new every day with him.
Well, amen. Man, congratulations on your growth, buddy. I mean, that's awesome. I like to see people do good. I mean, like I think you or me, you know, like we talked about, the average guy done something awesome and it's working for him. So,
hey, good deal. I know. I appreciate it. Hey, thank you guys. Thank you guys for being here, you know, from day one. It's been incredible. Thanks for inviting me on this podcast. I think, this is going to be good for you guys. Good for the community. It's good that we have a podcast that's not, you know, you mentioned this earlier. There's so much that as hunters we can relate to the overall, right? But being on a podcast or listening to a podcast that it's just, you know, a guy just like me and you, you know, we're not millionaires. We just enjoy the industry. We enjoy the hobby and you know, we just get to sit around and talk about it like we would around a fire, you know? So thank you guys. I appreciate it.
And that's why, like, you can chill out and talk because that's what we're doing. We're going to learn some stuff. I got somebody coming pretty soon that I think maybe we can quiz and learn some stuff on. But sure. Other than that, man, this is what it's about. We want to hear about what everybody's got going on. I think it's interesting. I would listen to it. So maybe somebody else will. But if they don't, hey, it's all right. We'll figure it out.
Sounds good.
Well, look, I appreciate it. We're going to check out, and we will send you a video in just a second, and you'll get to see the video of the lady on the tube, and we're going to get some things together today and get back at it.
All right, guys. Hey, take care.
See you. Yes, sir.